I'm recording.
This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 474, recorded Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Is it? I guess I have it on auto repeat. What do you mean I need a fingerprint sensor to turn that off? Anyway, so welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast, continuing to record earlier in the day.
Yes, we're up to 2:30 p.m. now.
You're the one who contacted me and said you were available. I'm available anytime after I finish work because I have nothing better to do. Although, excitingly, my shipment of meat came in from Poland, so I got to cook myself some chicken.
Okay.
What's so confusing about that? I needed meat. They were out of meat. They ordered meat. They have meat. I bought meat.
Well done.
I brought the meat home. I defrosted the meat. I cooked the meat. I ate the meat. I took pictures of the meat and sent it to my mother so that she knew I was eating well.
Good job.
Yes. So, it has been a somewhat uninteresting Android week in terms of my usage. I tried to find a new app for Pinboard.
Yes.
Because I still do use Pinboard to bookmark links for the show. And I found Pinked, which gets really good reviews, except all it ever does when I load it up is just spin. It has not actually loaded a single one of my links. So I was thinking of writing the developer and asking about that, if they have any solutions. I also suffered through the fact that the local taxi app didn't like me. So I had to clear the cache multiple times and reinstall it in order to get the ability to summon a taxi, which is somewhat essential because if you call them, none of them speak English. Mm-hmm. So the app has English, so it's sort of essential for me to communicate what I want without problems.
Right.
So I solved that problem too. So two app things, but nothing really exciting. There was some interesting app news. Researchers found 17 apps that bombard users with battery-draining ads. And yet another episode of bad behavior.
And some of these are kind of useful, man. Like, I think I have barcode reader, although maybe there's a gazillion barcode readers.
There are a gazillion barcode readers. But I'm more going with the way that they've designed this. So here we are. The apps wait 48 hours before hiding their presence on devices, hold off displaying ads for 4 hours, display ads at random intervals, split their code into multiple files. They also contain working code that does all the things promised in the Play subscriptions, giving them the appearance of legitimacy.
Sounds shady.
So while the apps worked as advertised, it also displayed ads that drained batteries, prevented people from playing the game that it was bundled with. And apparently, when a user unlocks one of these phones, there's a 1 in 3 chance it will display an ad.
Well, that's super shady. I don't mind showing ads while I'm using your app, but if I'm not using your app, you don't get my screen time.
Yeah, and that's sort of the things. These are... So the app registers boot completed. So when boot is completed, the app will begin an activity which starts a job scheduler for showing ads. The scheduled service starts after 10 minutes and shows an ad only once. The scheduler recreates itself by calling the method from within the activity that created initially, then starts again after 10 minutes. Another receiver the app registered is for the user present intent. Whenever the user unlocks the device, if at least 4 hours have passed since the app installed it, there's a chance an ad will show. That's because the ad displays are programmed by generating a random number of less than 3 that's checked against a value. If the number generated is equal to the check number, an ad appears. Therefore, the probability of displaying ads is once every 3 times the user unlocks the phone.
I don't like it.
So it's the app installs essentially a secondary app that does ads that is not disclosed to the user. So the user thinks they got some sort of malware. On some level, it is malware adjacent, if not strictly malware. So I think Google needs to do something about this. At the very least, say that that's not approved behavior for an app to start showing ads outside of the usage of that app. If that's something that you have to agree to in order to play the app, then that should be disclosed. Although I can't imagine anybody would want to do that if they saw the disclosure.
Maybe it's a really good app.
Okay. You can now use Duo without a phone number.
And amusingly, doesn't this also have the same G Suite restrictions? And that there are oddities with G Suite accounts?
Oddities, yes. But initially, during the first 24 hours, you couldn't use Duo at all. I know this because I was using Duo at the time, and it wouldn't work. Duo has been my way of communicating with family who wants to see me while I'm here. So I have a little camera set up. So it was not working. And as a result, I was convinced that I had lost another communication method, thanks to Google, much to my annoyance. But the next day it started working again. So it appears to have been temporary for now. But the fact that you can now use Duo with just an email address isn't good, because if Hangouts ever shuts down, that's an option. Because remember, for a long time, we used Hangouts for these discussions. We switched to Zoom because Hangouts was no longer going to necessarily be the most reliable.
True, true, true.
Yet it's still working. If you use the Google's official phone app, it might add call recording support back.
I'm looking forward to that. I wish there was a way to tell it just, I'm in a single party state and record all the calls.
Are you in a single party state?
I don't know.
I know I am. Well, not now, but I know that New York is a single party state. Here we are. Florida, single party. Here we are. No, you're not.
I don't care.
Florida makes it a crime to intercept or record a wire, oral, or electronic communication unless all parties to the communication consent. There's an exception for in-person communications where the parties do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy. In addition to criminal prosecution, you could be exposed to a civil lawsuit for damages by an injured party. So if you're willing to violate the law, you can do that.
A federal appellate court court has held that because only interceptions made through blah, blah, blah are illegal under Florida law, telephones used in the ordinary course of business to record conversations do not violate the law.
Okay, I'm not a lawyer, so I'll take your word for it. Not that you're one either, but I just looked up the first source.
How do you know?
That you're not a lawyer?
Yes.
I would think it would have come up in the last decade or so.
Fair enough.
That's the only reason why. I've known you long enough. I think it's a fact that might have come up. I'm sure there are many things I don't know about you, Jerry, but I thought that would have come up in conversation. Moving along, there was a nice article about open source alternatives to Google Maps, which is part of a series that Android Police has put on open source and free alternatives to popular applications. They already did email applications and calendar applications, but now they're talking about things like OSM AND, which has been around for years, and some additional ones, some I didn't know about. Here we are. Maps.me, which is from the developers of apparently something called American Dad Apocalypse Soon, which is an interesting combination. They make a popular free mapping app, and they also make some sort of game based on some television show.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. I think it's funny.
There's a fork of Maps.me with added track recording called Maps.
It's clever.
Yeah. So I like to see when somebody finds all of these alternative apps.
I wonder why Open Maps is not on there.
I don't know.
Remember, probably because it's not open source.
Yeah. Well, their thing is these are free and open source. Yeah. These are all open source ones. And again, there are other ones that are open or use OpenStreetMap data that are not necessarily open source. So I sort of like this feature because it sort of gives me alternative apps should I ever wish to take advantage of them.
I like OpenStreetMaps for like line drawing maps or line drawn maps. Awesome.
Moving along, WhatsApp is the second non-Google app to hit 5 billion installs.
I'll buy that.
That's billion with a B.
Yep.
Gesture Plus. I just saw this and I thought it was interesting, which it customizes some of the Android 10 gestures.
Does it make them not suck?
That may be asking too much. So if you look at this, you can add vibrations. You can add activation methods to quickly launch flashlight. There's a bunch of additional gestures. So again, some of these things might get built in the future, but if you want some of these things now, you can download this app. It comes in a basic and a enhanced version.
Interesting.
If you're tired of Google mispronouncing your name, for example, calling you Jeer Jones.
Yep.
You can now apparently teach it to pronounce names in your contact list.
Ooh.
So this is one of those features where they look at the APK and try to determine future things that have not been enabled. So apparently there is a menu that they found there in code that would allow you to record how to pronounce something so that you can teach the assistant how to do it.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So do I. They even give you the option of, if you don't want to record, instead of saying it, to try to spell it out.
Using the English alphabet, which...
Well, I have this sort of problem that I've mentioned before with voice recognition, especially on the both the Google and the Amazon voice assistants.
Yes.
I tell it to play the name of a song, and it doesn't recognize it because the name of the song is not in English, and there's no command that would allow it to sort of interpret this. And I sort of sent the suggestion. I said, well, can you tell, you know, like a word there that would tell it, don't try to interpret this as English, just phonetically try to find a title that matches this. Because I'm sure I'm not the only person who has non-English titles in my library. And it annoys me that I don't have an easy way to actually ask a voice assistant to play them. Moving along, Google has apparently started the process necessary to allow Fi and Voice to occupy the same account.
Ooh.
Because they're turning Voice into more of a corporate product. Not that they're getting rid of the personal version. So because there are plenty of people on the corporate side who have Fi accounts, they don't want to prevent the two from living together. I don't know what that means for the long-term future of either product, but I think it's time that, and there are a bunch of things that I find interesting about Fi.
Yeah.
One of them being that you still have to use Hangouts to get full integration on the text message side, a product they've said they're getting rid of. Oh, well. Several smaller tech companies apparently warned Congress that Amazon, Google, and Apple are killing competition. So this comes from companies like Sonos and Tile.
Yep.
So Sonos apparently filed a patent lawsuit, which we haven't talked about on here, but it's come up a few times in the news, saying that they copied their smart speaker design, betting that the cost of a lawsuit would be less than the profits of dominating the market, or at least that's the statement that Sonos said on the matter.
Well, I'm sure it does.
The problem was Google's size and its interest in owning every market that might touch its central ad business, even if it means temporarily selling products at a loss.
Well, it does that frequently.
Yeah, so I think this is an important thing for people to have a voice on, to say that these companies are using their market position to hurt other companies and that this needs to be publicly known. And again, that doesn't mean that I don't necessarily like Google or Amazon, but it certainly makes it harder for other companies, where if you work with these organizations, they give you business, and then when they don't need you anymore, they dump you and, you know, create competition, which I've seen many times. So you had the comment about PopSockets. Amazon allegedly dragged its feet on addressing a flood of counterfeit products, unilaterally lowered prices on their products, and demanded that the company pay back the loss, and then threatened to send products back as excess inventory at cost if it didn't comply.
Wow, that's crazy.
Apple is rumored to be launching a competitor to Tile's tracking tags. So Tile does Bluetooth tracking. And they allegedly began using their permissions and security options to make Tile less usable, burying Tile support in the settings menu and suggesting that users turn it off on iOS 13. And they're prohibited from using new radios in the iPhone 11 and 11 Pro.
Well, wow. I mean, okay.
Well, the idea being that these companies are big and they can afford to do this. And how do smaller companies encourage competition?
Well, I think if a smaller company was doing this, we wouldn't mind, right? Because, you know, it's a small it's the business can do what it wants with their product, with their service.
Yeah.
But since it's a big business, we look at them as, well, they have to encourage, you know, they can't be anti-competitive or, you know, and we look at it differently. And I don't know if that's fair.
Probably isn't, but you come to the sort of more practical thing of that there was a decision made many years ago in this country that not having competition is a bad thing, that not giving organizations a fair shake. Now, how do you do that? Now, this was a group telling Congress that there's a problem. Were they necessarily proposing a solution? Or were they saying, here's our problem. We're small businesses that are suffering because we cannot get a percentage of the market because this is what is happening. Now, considering that somebody in Congress apparently seemed genuinely surprised at how a Bluetooth tracking tag worked, Congress does not seem to be the place to solve these problems because nobody there seems to understand technology in any large numbers, but that's a different problem. Either way, this is something that should come out, not necessarily a solution, but it should come out that companies can use their position to prevent other companies from continuing in the marketplace.
No, they can prevent other companies from using their platform, but
what about the Google example where they allegedly violated patents and then are able to dump products on the market at a loss in order to get rid of competition?
Okay, I think that might come under anti-competition.
Yeah.
I believe that pricing your products below cost in order to drive out competition is actually against the law.
Yeah.
Okay, but Amazon doing crazy stuff with PopSockets. PopSockets can still sell their stuff. And they just, you know, maybe Amazon isn't the best place for them. Now, I acknowledge and I accept that not being on Amazon or being reduced in visibility on Amazon is limiting to them. But it is not preventing them from being in the market. And the same thing with Tile. Tile can still sell their stuff and it can be used on other phones. Apple is just making it a pain for their phone.
Yeah. And as I said, in that case, I think it's something that needs to come out, even if, again, the government doesn't do anything. It should be known that these companies we choose to patronize do engage in this behavior, and we can make a decision as consumers whether we want to be involved in that. That's a different decision.
I absolutely agree that behavior like this should be brought to the public, because maybe I don't want to use the products of a company that is trying to limit my access to things that would be useful to me.
And I'm annoyed that increasingly companies are doing this, because, you know, I always go back to Twitter as the best example, where, you know, Twitter invited all these third-party developers to write apps on their platform and then decided, no, never mind.
Yeah.
And they sort of backed a little away from that, but they're still doing it and increasingly ramping it up. So it's disappointing. It continually makes me want to leave, not Twitter specifically, because I'm not really active on Twitter, but it makes me want to leave, you know, hosting my stuff at third parties and self-host a lot more when I get to this realization that at any moment, this company could pull the rug out from under me. By the way, several companies have already pulled the rug out from under me, which I've talked about on the show many times, how companies' changes in behavior have completely destroyed my usage of them and forced me to find a different solution.
Well, I think anytime you build a product based on somebody else's platform, you run into that risk. I mean, if you watch a lot of YouTube, you hear that frequently from the people who produce YouTube videos that, oh, YouTube isn't treating them fair. YouTube is doing a variety of things.
Yeah, but you also have to remember that most people cannot afford to self-host their own YouTube.
No, but there are a variety of other hosting platforms.
Yeah, some people have moved to Twitch.
There's Twitch, there's BitChute, there are a variety of things. And I understand that that reduces the profitability, but I believe that if people were to, I mean, it's a risk you take when you build a business that is dependent on another business. That business can screw with you.
Disappointing, isn't it? I didn't say that it wasn't legal, or I'm just saying it's disappointing. Okay. That's the only thing I can say, because we learn to love these companies. There are people who, you know, you could use the term fanboy, but there are people who love the products they put out. And I could say that I love a lot of what Google does. That doesn't mean I love everything. But who loves everything that an individual does, much less a company? Oh, well, how about a happier note?
Yes.
The Carousel of Progress is marking its 45th anniversary at Disney World. By the way, this is actually my favorite Disney World ride. It's a classic. It's probably in need of a refresh, though. Have I silenced you with my talk of the Carousel of Progress?
I just don't know anything about it.
You've been to Disney World. You've never been on the Carousel of Progress?
That's correct.
Are you going to Disney World in the near future? If so, can you commit to trying this ride?
Probably not.
On the first count or the second count?
I will commit to going on the Carousel of Practice the next time. Carousel of Progress next time I go to Disney
World. Disney World, if you go to Disneyland, yeah. That hasn't been there since 1973. Okay, that's all I'm asking. If necessary, I can send you a video run through of it. Either way, I just think it's a classic ride. It doesn't have an agenda, and they haven't figured out how to put Disney animated characters into it. Famous last words there. Anyway, NBC Peacock is launching this spring, and if you're a Comcast or Cox customer, you get the full thing for free. If you aren't, there's going to be an ad-supported free tier. So I wanted to sort of mention...
Ad-supported free tier?
Yes.
Kind of like broadcast video? Broadcast TV?
It is coming from NBC, so... It's the ad-supported tier is supposed to include only 5 minutes of ads per hour and will feature about half of their content library. It will offer next-day access to currently airing NBC series, entire seasons of older shows, selected movies, news, and sports programming. Some of their original series will also be available, along with clips and shows highlighting NBC content. If you are an authenticated TV subscriber, you can get their premium offering with a complete selection of content at no charge. That's 15,000 hours of live or on-demand content, but has advertising. For $5 extra, you can get rid of the advertising. Otherwise, for $10 a month, you can get their premium, which is no advertising and all their content. So three different levels.
I like it. I think it's an excellent way to do that. And $10 a month is reasonable for one of the big threes.
Yeah. And again, if you're one of the cable companies they've made a deal with, including the one that owns NBC, you get it for half price. And there's still a limited set of content that's available to anybody if they're willing to watch ads. I think that's sort of a nice set of tiers.
Absolutely. I like the 5 minutes of ads per hour is not a lot when you consider that a normal broadcast TV show includes 17 or 18 minutes of ads per hour.
I thought it was 19. I thought it was 41 minutes of actual content for an hour-long program. I might be misremembering. It's either 41 or 43, so we're probably one of us is right.
It's between 15 and 20. We'll leave it at that.
So it may vary, but either way, 5 minutes of ads is reasonable. The only thing that annoys me about ads on streaming services is it's like the same. You watch an hour of programming, it's like the same ad five times.
Well, yes, and it'll probably be like that for a little while until there's a larger inventory of ads.
Yeah, I understand why it is. I said I'm annoyed by it.
Sure.
The ad is not getting through to me. I didn't enjoy it the first time.
Well, I think you'd be surprised that the reason advertising works is due to repetition. It's not because any individual ad is particularly persuasive, but they work based on repetition and you're more likely to buy products that you're familiar with. And that repetition fools your brain into thinking that you are familiar with that brand. So,
well, what was the last product you remember buying because you had seen it on an ad?
I don't think it works that way.
I know. I'm just curious if you have any recollection of connecting those two things.
I can connect an ad I saw in a YouTube video to going to that website's site and deciding I'm going to buy stuff from.
Okay. So the ad did work.
Yeah. And it happened, last night, as a matter of fact. I was watching a Linus Tech Tips video, and he was mentioning this. I can't even remember the name of it now, but it's basically artwork that mounts on your wall by magnets.
And you bought one?
I'm going to. I like, they have a wide variety of art. It's easy to change them out. They're reasonably priced. Yeah.
Okay, so enjoy. So you got a good product recommendation.
I did. It was kind of weird.
Apparently, there's now a suspicion that a Wyze person detection from the Wyze Cam, their contract with their provider was terminated because Apple apparently bought that provider.
We talked about this previously and did not know why.
That's why I sort of mentioned it. So there's no confirmation that the two are connected, but it seems likely that the fact that they're going to be owned by another company is the reason why they had to terminate this contract. It might not be specifically because Apple has any issue with Wyze. It might be that they want to fold this into their own product offering and they don't want to offer their services to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more of the opinion, and I'm not going to attribute any malice to Apple specifically, but my guess is because of the impending acquisition, they terminated all of their relationships.
I suspect you're right. They wanted the technology, but they did not want the business.
Yeah, so that's done. And we'll see what happens next. Wyze has said they're going to work on the feature internally and come up with something that will not be subject to this problem. It's always the thing. We're back to when you build your platform on other people's technology. But in this case, they licensed it. It just didn't work out. Moving along, apparently all new Chromebooks will get at least 8 years going forward of automatic updates.
Don't you kind of wish they would promise that same level of support for telephones?
In defense of that, I wish they would. But you have the problem that the carriers give them a lot of trouble on that.
Ugh.
And I think some of their software works where they've been trying to separate parts of the operating system might make that more possible in the future. And they've been doing this for years. Do you remember when you couldn't update any of the system apps until they released them into the market?
Yes.
So I think they've been slowly separating pieces out so that they don't have to deal with this problem for years.
I agree.
And eventually they will get to as many pieces as possible. At least I hope. So that brings us to the end of our agenda for this week. I hope that the next week brings you a lot of enjoyment. And I keep thinking of buying a device for my phone and having it shipped here because it's made in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I've been playing with Sleep as Android. Are you familiar with it?
I believe so.
It's an app, and they do a lot of monitoring and sleep tracking.
Is that where you put it on your bed and it tells you, it tries to tell you the quality of your sleep?
Yeah, but I don't really like the idea of having my phone on my bed. I'm afraid I'm going to roll over it. But they offer, with that, if you want a sleep tracking method where it emits a low sound instead. But they released their sleep phaser device, and I keep thinking about buying it. So the sleep phaser is like this. The latest version is, it looks sort of like a little squat lamp. So it's like a square box with light in it, and it contains a variety of sensors. It's referred to as a bedside smart light that monitors your sleep phases and connects to the Sleep as Android app. So yeah. This is a $79 item for one. I think it's $139 for two. And it has a passive sensor working via passive infrared detection. And it also doubles as a smart light. And it looks like it's small enough that I could travel with it. And it can be powered with a charging cable or AAA batteries.
Cool.
So I've tried to decide because I could have it shipped here. Or I could have it shipped back to my house and it would get there by the time I got there. Because I do have a sleep tracking device under my mattress, but I don't have a travel device.
Well, good luck.
Well, I keep going back and forth as to whether or not I could actually decide to buy it. I just find a kick out of the reviews. Thank you. My husband snores while sleeping. I couldn't sleep and was tired of making noises to stop him to snore, but the phaser can do the noises instead of me. It's great. We'll see okay. If I actually decide to buy such an item, but I've been debating it. I like the idea of sleep tracking because I think sometimes it encourages me to be a little more responsible on my sleeping.
Responsible in your sleeping.
Well, if I'm keeping track of it, I can say I haven't been sleeping much lately. I should do something about that. They also have some other, you know, fun shopping items. You're interested in some of their interesting sleep technology. By the way, the company is called Happy Electronics. So not only do they have this device, they also have the handy dandy sleep mask for Sleep as Android. So their sleep mask includes light sleep mask, fast fall asleep, gentle wake up, lullaby, lucid dreaming, anti-snoring, and usable as a mind machine. I'm a little confused about how that works.
A mind machine.
There's a sunrise alarm. So apparently you can put it over your face and it can light up. It has a lullaby, an anti-snoring light, and apparently a few other things. But I just find it amusing. Anyway, I'll see. Maybe I'll buy it. Maybe I won't. But it seems like a fun item to have.
Cool. So,
shall we adjourn?
Let's.
Until next week.
Until next week. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.